listening to the Sunday podcast brought to you by lifeteen.com, a reflection on the upcoming Sunday Catholic Mass readings. And now your host, the Bible geek, Mark Hart.
Well, happy third Sunday of Ordinary Time. Can you say that? Can you say happy Sunday of Ordinary? Yeah, happy third Sunday of Ordinary Time, everybody. I hope this finds you well in whatever part of the world you find yourself. Let's take a look at the readings. Our first reading from Nehemiah, chapter 8, verses 2 through 4, verses 5 and 6, and verses 8 through 10. Our psalm response from Psalm 19, verses 8 through 10, and then verse 15. Our second reading, 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 12 through 30. And our gospel from St. Luke, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And then we fast forward to chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. Now, I want to give you a warning, a heads up right at the beginning. These readings this week are long. So the lectors, if you're a lector, you really have to prepare to read this well. And if you're sitting in the pews and just receiving the word of God being proclaimed, and we are supposed to receive it, not just hear it, receive it, you have to really lean in and pay attention. So it's really important, as it always is, that you read these readings ahead of time, that you really prepare your heart to receive what God wants to do. Now, I want to give a little bit of background to really understand what's going on in these readings. In this first reading, Nehemiah is not a book we read a lot from in our cycle of readings, and Nehemiah probably isn't one of those books that you open frequently. So just to give you a little background, when Nehemiah was being written, the people had been taken off into slavery for a while, and their city in the kingdom of Judah down in Jerusalem, their city had been destroyed. The temple had been destroyed. And when Nehemiah comes onto the scene, Nehemiah was a layperson, and Nehemiah was appointed by the king to help rebuild the city, to help rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild Judah. So he had a specific task and a specific mission. And you're going to hear in this reading about a guy named Ezra. Now, Ezra was a priest, and Ezra's role was to reinstill the law of Moses, to get people back on solid footing, solid spiritual footing again. Because the people that they're speaking to and that they're trying to rally to rebuild the city and rebuild the temple and rebuild the law, these people have been enslaved. They were taken away from their land, and now they've come back and their city's destroyed. And they're trying to rebuild their lives. They're trying to rebuild their spiritual lives, their physical lives. You have to understand that background when you hear this, because all of a sudden you're going to be thrust into this and it's going to say, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly. If you don't know all that, the rest of this reading isn't going to make sense. But it's so beautiful what happens when Ezra the priest brings the law. It says he opens the scroll so that all the people might see it. Now imagine that moment at Mass when the deacon or the priest comes forward and they take the book, the scriptures, and they raise up that lectionary of scriptures. Does anything move through your heart? At that point in Mass, I always find myself sort of unconsciously bowing the minute that the scriptures, the word of God, gets elevated. Now, that is really a moment we should be celebrating. There are parts of the world when the deacon or the priest elevates the scriptures that everyone falls on their knees and they lay prostrate. They actually just fall down and they sing and they worship because scripture has had such an incredible, incredible place, an incredible effect on their life. And ask yourself, when you see the scriptures, do you feel that way? Does your heart move that way? When it's elevated, does your heart want to bow the same way that we want to bow when the Holy Eucharist is elevated? It says, he held the scriptures up that all the people might see it. And as he opened it, all the people rose and he blessed the Lord. And they raised their hands. And raising their hands, especially back then in scripture, it was a sign of openness, of yearning, of a needing and desiring to receive something from God. There was something to it when you opened your hands. It was an exterior expression of a deep interior hunger and desire. And when they said, amen, amen, it says, yes, I believe, yes, I agree, yes, what you're saying, I want to make the foundation of my life. And it goes on to say that at that point, as he's reading it, they fell on their faces and they prostrated themselves before the Lord, worshiping him in total humility. Can you imagine if this really happened in your local parish this Sunday? If what's happened hundreds of times before, if all of a sudden people really stopped and acknowledged the power of Scripture and the power of Scripture had in their life. But what happens is, as it goes on reading, it says the people started weeping as they heard the words of the law. Maybe they were weeping because they had abandoned the law and their whole kingdom had fallen into ruin. Or maybe they were weeping because they had personally fallen short. Or maybe they were weeping just tears of hope because now they were finally brought back. Whatever the reason, and all those reasons, what's important is that Ezra says, hey, this is not a time to weep. This is a new beginning. Okay, don't listen to these words and think only about how bad you were and how bad things got. This is a new beginning. This is a new foundation we're building on. The conviction that Ezra must have had, the conviction of Nehemiah, not only to be there and be present and to lead these people, but the conviction to record these things so that we later would be able to read it. That's an incredible conviction. And it's that similar conviction that leads us to the gospel. Because if you look, it doesn't necessarily make sense at first look. You have Luke chapter 1, you have the first four verses, and all of a sudden we fast forward to chapter 4. But the first few verses are about why Luke is writing this down. He basically is saying, hey, a lot of people have sat down to write a narrative of all these things, but I actually investigated this, and after investigating this myself, because Luke was not one of the original 12, after investigating this myself, I was so moved by the truth that I actually had to write it down. So what he's telling us in the beginning of his gospel is, this is my testimony. This is what I've witnessed with my own eyes, and I want to record it so that it's orderly and people understand it. And then he goes on to say, and Jesus, when he came from Nazareth and he'd grown up, he went to the synagogue and he rose and he unrolled the scroll. And you hear like this parallel between the first reading with Ezra, the priest, and now Jesus, the high priest. And when he unrolled the scroll and he read it, and people's hearts were moved. Okay, they looked intently at him. And he said, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. It's so amazing and so impressive, the power that the Word of God has. Not just the written Word of God that we call the scriptures, but the Word of God. The original Word of God is Jesus. The Word of God, capital W, the Word of God is Jesus Christ himself. And all the other words of God flow from him. So it's so beautiful that we have the Word, the living Word, proclaiming the everlasting Word of Scripture. And I just have to throw this out. When you read scripture, when you read these on your own, do you feel convicted to share it with people? Do you feel convicted not only to write it down, a journal about it, to read about it, but to really share it the way Ezra did, to allow other people to make that the foundation of their lives? We all have different stories, and we all have different spiritual journeys, but we're all bound together in Christ, and we're all bound together in God, and the scriptures and the law of God, that has to be the foundation of your life. That's what brings us all together as brothers and sisters, no matter how different we are. And that's what the second reading is talking about. We're all different, but we're all one. My brothers and my sisters, this week I challenge you and I encourage you, look for those opportunities that God's putting in front of you to share the Word of God, to share the truth of God. That will help other people rebuild their lives, to build a new life on the foundation that is rock solid, the foundation of Jesus Christ. God is bringing people before you in the coming week that he wants you to share his Word, his love, his truth with. And your only response is to answer.
This podcast is brought to you by your friends at lifeteen.com.